Well, this is the first of three short teachings in the area of equipping people in the area of evangelism. The Lord's really been putting my heart over the last few months the importance of really raising up all Christians with the ability of sharing their faith, particularly given the way we see the world now with so many people that need to know there's a God that loves them with a passion, and that the gospel message is the only thing that this world has that can change this world, because in the gospel, people can meet Jesus Christ and find the peace and joy and purpose that God would want all of us to have in life. This series of teaching, I'm doing three short teachings, will be firstly to help others to teach the materials in our Evangelism Fire Workshop manual, which I've just put together recently, and last week we had our first workshop in Blacktown. We'll be doing monthly workshops, just trying to encourage Christians to share their faith in a greater way, and also to equip other pastors and churches to run this course eventually as well. Second reason we're doing these three short teachings is to help encourage and equip all Christians in the area of evangelism and to be effective in sharing their faith. And finally, just to ignite a fresh passion for evangelism in times, as I said, when there's a great need in this world for people to know the peace and hope that can only ever come from knowing Jesus Christ. So the first teaching I'll be doing now will be just really an introduction, an overview of some of the key areas to cover in this workshop manual, this Fire Workshop. The second I'll be sharing on some keys to effectively sharing our faith. That's the second teaching. And then finally, the third teaching will cover the topics of kingdom power and communicating the gospel of grace clearly. So what I'll do is I'll just begin now in prayer as we start the first session, an overview of the workshop we'll be running. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that every word that comes out of my mouth will be you, Holy Spirit, ministering through me, Lord. And Lord, that the people that hear this teaching, Lord, will be encouraged in the area of evangelism, in Jesus' name. See, God has a great love for all people. And God knows the heartaches and challenges that every individual goes through in life, and everyone in the world, no matter how well life may appear to be, they always have certain things in their lives, maybe fears, insecurities, even doubts about what will happen beyond the grave. So we as Christians need to really be active in sharing the good news of the gospel with as many people as possible. The Bible makes it clear that God's desire is that none would perish, that every single person in this world would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and know the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So I want to look firstly by looking at Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 to 38 and just see God's heart for people and for lost souls. It says in this passage of scripture, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. When God's kingdom comes into a place, a city, it begins to transform the city completely. People are not only saved, but they are healed and delivered, and there's great joy coming into places where the gospel is preached. It is good news. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is really the heart of God at this time right now in history, that people all around the world would come to know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way. Jesus himself said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came into this world and gave his life as a ransom for you and me. So how much important it is for us also that we also in these times give our life in helping to see people come to know Jesus Christ in a real and personal way, that we lay down our lives truly for the cause of Christ. Jesus said in the parable of the lost sheep, just God's heart for the individual. And the world is just made up of over 7 billion now individuals with different needs, various hurts and pains, and he has a heart for every person, and that every person would come to know him. He said in Luke chapter 15 and verses 4 to 7, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which is lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The Lord has really been putting in my heart just the importance of reaching out to the individuals. And every one of us have friends, we meet people out there as we do our everyday things in life that have a great need to know the compassion of Jesus. Truly, the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Being a pastor of a church in Blacktown, really my heart now is also to really equip many other Christians to have the heart and the ability to reach out to people with the gospel. There are so many people that need to know the truth. So a big part of our role as pastors and evangelists also must be now on equipping those in our churches to become effective in winning people to Christ. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, and he who wins souls is wise. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 to 13, Apostle Paul wrote, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. A big part of our responsibilities as pastors, and a wonderful privilege, is to help other Christians to become effective in what God has called them to do in their lives and to become soul winners. To be really truly effective in leading others to Christ, the most important thing is we must have a genuine love and compassion for all others. God's heart for lost souls. Again, I'll read John 3:16. We see the incredible love of God in sending his son Jesus into this world to redeem a lost, hurting mankind unto himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, the key as Christians is we must have an intimate walk with the Lord. And the world, when we live in it, it so often tries to dull our affections to the Lord. There are distractions, there are things that happen in life that can so easily take our hearts away from a real devotion unto the Lord. But to be truly an effective and efficient soul winner, you must have Christ's compassion for people. Because if you truly love people, it is so easy to share the wonderful hope that we found in Christ with others. It's his compassion in our hearts that really moves us to want to lay down our lives for the cause of Christ and to reach out to the lost and hurting in our communities. And as Christians, we have the ability to love others with the agape love of God, because his love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So what can then stop us from loving others freely? What can cause us to be indifferent to the plight of the lost and those who are perishing? What can stop us from actively sharing our faith with the unsaved? What stops God's love from just flowing through our lives? And now I just want to look at page 23 of our Evangelism Workshop manual and just look at a few things in terms of what stops people from loving others with the love that is in their hearts. And first of all, the thing we need is we need to be intimate with the Lord. You know, our lack of intimacy with Jesus will impact and prevent us from fully loving people the way Christ would want us to. So we need to be continually abiding in Christ, because everything in ministry, everything in our walk with the Lord really flows out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we have his heart for lost and hurting people. So really, a lack of intimacy with Jesus will stop us from really loving people the way we can with that agape love of Christ. I just want to look now at John chapter 15 and look at just verses 4 and 5. This is the key to being effective in ministry. It's really the key to enduring to the end in our walk with the Lord, because Jesus himself said, "And because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold in those last days, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." So in John chapter 15 and verses 4 to 5, Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." So a lack of intimacy with Jesus will impact the way we share our faith. And the closer we are to the Lord, the more we'll have his heart to be continually in season, out of season, sharing the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. Part of that intimacy with the Lord is the importance of being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, "Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." We need to be people that have a lifestyle of worship, those who truly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So a lack of intimacy will really prevent us from being effective as soul winners, because the things of this world, the cares of this world, will steal that great love that God has for people out of our lives. So first of all, we need to remain intimate with the Lord. So the second thing that can negatively affect our ability to minister the gospel with the love of Christ to others is that we develop wrong attitudes in our walk with the Lord. It's walking in the flesh, and the enemy is always trying to cause us to have wrong attitudes, because we've been saved the moment we've given our life to Jesus Christ, repentance and faith. You know, the devil's lost us, but he doesn't want our lives to make an impact in the lives of others. So he'll be continually trying to press buttons to cause us to start to develop wrong attitudes towards others, that we start becoming critical and judgmental of others, that we even start to develop a Pharisaical spirit, that we are the righteous ones, but they are not. But the fact is, we all miss it. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. So we need to always look for the best in others and not allow wrong, critical, judgmental attitudes to develop. Again, we must be careful that don't we look at others and how others are doing, because you know, the enemy also would love us to become envious and jealous of others. And it's impossible to love others with the love of Christ if we have jealous and wrong attitudes towards them. We must again also be careful of selfish ambition, that so often we can start with a pure motive, but the enemy, the devil, who was full of pride, it's why he was kicked out of heaven, will try and eventually start to get you to think a greater thing about yourself than really warrants. And he will try and get you to have pride in your life and even become selfish in the things you do, just so that you cannot be fully what God would love you to be, a person set apart, living wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus. Apostle Paul was wonderful. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." He was a lover of God. He lived for others. And that is why God used him in such a mighty way to see the gospel impacting so many places. So we need to be careful about our attitudes, because if we haven't got a love for people, it is very hard to share our faith with others. And Paul warned about, even though as Christians we have great liberty, that we must not get in the flesh, because we can potentially even bite and devour one another. And Jesus made it clear, by our love for one another, the world would know that we were his disciples. So again, we're in a spiritual contest, so we must choose to maintain good attitudes. We must choose to love people. We must choose to encourage people. We must choose to walk in the Spirit. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 through to about verse 18, he said, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. And I do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So how important is that we maintain good attitudes, we don't allow things into our heart to stop the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts from flowing in and through our lives as we minister the gospel. And then the third thing that can stop people from sharing their faith, for the first thing is a lack of intimacy, not being connected to the source of all love through an intimate relationship with Jesus. Secondly, allowing wrong attitudes to come into our lives, critical, judgmental, envious, jealous attitudes, or even allowing pride to creep into our life as God begins to raise us up and promote us to do things that are influencing many people's lives, is simply having a fear of man. And I see so many people, though their heart is desire is to reach out and share the gospel, fear is used by the enemy to stop them from reaching out to people. So we need, again, the answer is always abiding in a close relationship with Jesus, because in 1 John 4:18, John said, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love." So the closer we walk with the Lord, the more we'll have his love and compassion as we minister the gospel. And as we minister the gospel in love and truth, we'll see many people coming to know Jesus through our lives. I just want to now just share also about the importance of always believing in the power of the gospel to transform our communities. So often I hear people and they think, well, I've tried sharing my faith, and they start to become a little bit discouraged. But we've got to always realize that there is power in the gospel to transform lives. That no matter how far down someone is in life, one touch from Jesus is able to set people free and turn their lives around. God is able to restore broken lives. So we must always preach the gospel with a belief that as we preach it, lives will be transformed, lives will be converted, lives will be transformed by Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So as we simply share the gospel message, the saving grace upon God's grace comes upon people's hearts, and people open up hearts and are saved and transformed by the gospel message. We see the power of the gospel to literally transform cities. I believe that as a church that is active in reaching out to the community with the gospel, we can see entire communities and cities in the hour that we're living in swept into God's kingdom as we go out and minister the gospel, as we practically love people the love of Christ, because there is power in the gospel to transform lives. When we go to Acts chapter 8 and look at verses 4 to 8, we see what happened when Philip went into that city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. It says in verses 4 to 8, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city." How we need to believe in the power of the gospel message to transform our cities in this time that we're living in, when there are so many people around the world looking for a hope, and the only hope can never be found in Jesus Christ, who came into this world not to condemn the world, but to seek and to save that which was lost. So a real purpose behind the teachings we're just putting together over the next few sessions 1, 2, and 3, is to really help as many people as possible that are Christians to become effective in becoming soul winners. Again, "And he who wins souls is wise," and to encourage them as well to then train up others to become soul winners. How important is that we equip people who can then equip others to become soul winners? And as the whole body of Christ becomes equipped and empowered to share the gospel, how we'll see our cities beginning to come to Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." What I want to do now is just quickly finish this first introductory overview teaching by just looking at why 90% of believers never lead anyone into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And this teaching can be found on pages 49 to 50 of the Evangelism Fire Workshop Manual, which I'm now going to. So when we look at why 90%, well, the first is really just a lack of teaching in the church by evangelists to equip and empower believers to witness to others. This is why the Lord put on my heart to put together this manual and training program to help equip Christians to be effective in soul winning. Second thing is a fear of man, that the enemy will always try and cause us to be maybe fearful what others may think as we share the gospel. But perfect love casts out all fear. And when we start to get close to God, we get his heart and compassion to see the lost come to Christ. It's the more we fill with all the fullness of God, the less fear we'll have, and the more we'll have his compassion to compel us to share the gospel with others. Third thing is that so often we can be more worried about man's approval or what man thinks than God's approval. But if we put the Lord first in our life, he will stand up for us when we need him to stand up for us. But I think so often in the Western world, it's the things of this world, desires for other things, that can really creep in subtly and begin just to steal our passion for the things of God and to share that wonderful passion that we have for God with others. It's why Jesus said, "Do not be lukewarm, otherwise I'll spit you out." Because if you're lukewarm, you're just as comfortable in the world as you are in a church, and there's no saltiness, no passion that'll help influence others to Christ. So we must ensure that we don't allow things like status, the cares of this world, desire for all the worldly trappings to start to get a hold of our desires and affections. Because Jesus made it clear, you cannot serve two masters. You know, the importance of laying up treasures in heaven. He said, "Therefore, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be." The enemy will constantly try and steal our affections away from Christ to stop us from sharing the gospel in season and out of season with those around us. In fact, we're living in times now, the most important thing is to be close to the Lord, ready for the return of the Lord, ready to share the wonderful hope that we have with others in season and out of season. That for many Christians, they've lost contact and even relevance with the unsaved world. They now no longer have any unchurched friends. All their friends are Christians, which is great, but they also need to be actively engaging in the society as well, connecting with others, building bridges to make a way to share the gospel with those that are unsaved. Also, sometimes we can think us versus them mentality, where they're the enemy and we're the ones that God loves, but God loves everyone, and they're just lost and they just need to hear the good news of the gospel, because one day they'll also be part of our family, our church family, as we lead them to Christ. So often I've seen people that one minute was my enemy, next minute one of my best friends, because when Christ comes into a person's life, they become a new creation. Apostle Paul said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Lord's reminding me now of a time when I was over in a missions trip in India, and we were in a little upstairs church and mainline church. And the drummer there was giving me some very dreadful dagger looks when I was waiting to preach. And he wasn't yet saved. Maybe he'd come out of a bit of idol worship. But he was banging those drums and giving me the most dreadful stares. But after I preached the gospel that night and got people baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was one of them that was saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And as we concluded that meeting with a worship song, he was just beaming with love towards me, smiling at me. It's amazing how God quickly can transform lives when they come to Christ. So we need to realize that we need to keep reaching out to people, even though they may be rejecting us all the time. God still loves them. God will never reject them. We must not give up on them and never get a us versus them mentality. And just another couple of things finally is that you can become discouraged by past failures at sharing your faith. You've tried many times to share your faith, received opposition, and you start to become disillusioned and discouraged. We must continually keep persevering, get filled with the love of God, and keep sharing our faith with others, because people will come to Christ if we keep persisting in sharing our faith. And then just finally, just a lack of love for humanity. Again, how important it is that we have an intimate relationship with the Lord, His compassion for all those people in the world. And finally, it's just a lack of desire to really lay down your life for the cause of Christ. Because if you don't make a choice to wholeheartedly live for the Lord, invariably all the influences around you, all the peer group pressure, all the other things can just pull you away from that wholehearted, abandoned commitment to just doing what Jesus tells you to do. And it's only at that place of total surrender and commitment that you really begin to see your lives making a profound impact in the world for eternity. We look at some of the great evangelists like Reinhard Bonnke that left Germany, went as a missionary as a young boy to Africa. He was committed no matter what happened in those early days. He was committed to seeing Africa touched by the gospel message. And 40 years later, we just see what God can do through a person that is totally submitted and surrendered to the will of God. And now over the last 6 years, some 50 to 60 million people have been saved because of his wholehearted commitment to the gospel being seen and preached in Africa. So I'll just finish with one last scripture. It's John chapter 12 and verse 24 to 26. That as we give our life away, we'll begin to see much fruit coming to pass in what we do for God's kingdom. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. We're living in times now where there are multitudes in the valley of decision. All we need to do is to be available to be used of God, and God will help us to become soul winners. As pastors and leaders, how important it is that we have a passion for lost souls, that we have a passion to reach out with the gospel, because it's more caught than taught evangelism. So may I encourage you, pastors and leaders, really draw near to the Lord, get a fresh vision from God for the lost in your community, and see what God can do in and through your church to see your communities come to Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen.